Radio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Becky Baylor.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Believe me, we wanted to tell you.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling with your hosts.
All I know is his name.
Give me his name.
Tim Stein.
Talk like him, like him. Try to talk sexy.
Heartbreak Mike.
Don't be alarmed, we're Negroes.
The Omega.
And I ain't no Wesley Snipes.
I just hang out with stupid-ass friends.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
People say I look weird. They say my ears look funny.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third-generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have to the earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday Night.
Now let's hear one of those jokes, bitch.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Why on earth are we coming into Bad Boys?
Because that was the intro.
Why?
Don't ask me. I didn't do it.
You're the producer. What do you mean you didn't do it?
The Canadian did all this. He made the intro. It's his fault.
Gonna have to speak with the Canadian after the show.
Has the Canadian been a bad boy?
I'll just blame Omega.
No. So yeah, everything went wrong this week. There are suspensions. There is possible retirement. There is, unfortunately, death. We've got a depressing show for you lined up.
Woo.
Woo!
Tim, why'd you book it such a depressing week in wrestling? He's not going to answer that question.
Not going to answer. Oh. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Yo, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
I could be better. As soon as this thing finally loads up. Yeah.
The wonders of technology.
Jesus.
And of course, the one that is apparently at the technological cutting edge, the one and only Tim Stein.
Okay, it must be Bizarro Land Week or something like that if you're going to say that. But yeah, my computer's newer than yours, bitch. Ha ha!
Not more powerful, though.
I never said that. I just said mine's not giving us problems, and I don't need to worry about whether or not the hamster died.
Yet.
Mike might need to get a another hamster, so he's got two of them running in that wheel for his.
Nothing.
Not
absolutely nothing. Mike, this is where you chime in and like defend yourself or something, because I just said that with your computer is running on a hamster wheel.
Well, I can't lie. It is running on a hamster wheel. It's a piece of kick push machinery. So I'm like, until this thing can finally get an update, yeah, we're stuck with the old fashioned crank.
Well, there you go. So you were really surprised when I told you that the Calgary Sun carried that news article about what happened where you live?
Believe it or not, yeah, I was really surprised. But then I had to think about it, and firefighters, come on, guys. Like, two firefighters getting shot, and most of them are in critical condition. For now, all that I do know is that they're recovering. One works in my mom's hospital, so yeah. Yep.
People don't exactly know what we're talking about, Mike, but I do have to correct you. One of them, unfortunately, didn't make it. The other one was in critical condition. The civilian involved, stable, non-threatening.
Omega, you were right. This is a depressing show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't mean for it to be. Yeah. Rock, by the way, I think Omega was talking about the theme from the TV show Cops, not the intro theme that I made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, have you seen the movie Bad Boys?
That's the one where there are boys that are bad.
Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, they play vice cops in Miami. Oh, my God. Miami Vice cops. Anyway, that song is in the movie.
As well as the four other songs that we played during the show.
Oh, my God. You want to grab the... Okay, so it's, Bad Boys theme night. Now, this is on the heels of Martin Lawrence announcing there will be a Bad Boys 3. Hopefully... It'll erase the taste of Bad Boys 2, Mike.
Yes, indeed.
Bad movie. Not a good one at all.
But will they be able to afford Will Smith?
You know what? He didn't win the Oscar, and Jada Pinkett Smith was all upset about it and said some things she probably regrets but won't admit that she regrets. So maybe his asking price will come down $10.
No, it won't. He just won some MTV award. Makes him the best ever. So no. Okay.
So it goes up another 75 cents thanks to the MTV award.
Greatest movie star ever or something.
Oh, my God. Did he hang up on us because we're bashing Will Smith?
No.
Mike, are you still there?
Off to a great
start.
Well,
he didn't last long.
Technical issues, ladies and gentlemen. Definitely technical issues. Yeah, I think that we're having a problem with Mike's connection. Get off the phone again.
No, connection's good. Connection's good. We're all good.
Now it's better. Oh, you're on the computer now, are you?
Yes, I am. It finally decided to work with me.
Well, yeah, it sounds better.
Excellent.
We thought for a second you hung up on us because I was bashing Will Smith.
No, I hate the bastard, but that's neither here nor there.
He won't be in Independence Day 2, so.
Oh, God.
Not Independence Day 2, not in the new Men in Black.
Yeah.
Because apparently after you star in something as magical as After Earth, your star is just too expensive.
Yeah.
My
goodness. I don't know. Anyway, let's make it official. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Almost starting on time tonight. Last couple of weeks have been a minor delay, and it's my fault because my kid was in the playoffs in the hockey league that he was in, and his final game of the season was tonight, and congratulations to my son, Owen James. He and his team won a medal. Final score, 6-3.
Woot!
So congratulations, Owen.
Congrats.
Say it with me. There you go. Yeah. So, you know, back to our normal hijinks and everything else like that. We should be on time next Sunday night. So, barring any unforeseen circumstances, you never know. It might be so boring we got nothing to talk about. But we've got a couple of things to talk about tonight. Mike, it's your, you gave the inspiration for the first topic tonight. When you look at the rash of injuries going on in WWE right now, everybody getting hurt, everybody going on the shelf, everybody having to take time off to heal. What's going on? Are wrestlers working too stiff?
Honestly, now I can finally talk about this because it's been seen. If you look at other promotions besides WWE,
there are others. Stiff,
yes, there are. Others. I know,
right?
To me, and I had a big discussion about it with the whole Tyson kid. Oh, that guy Samoa Joe was too stiff. Here's the problem: some of these wrestlers are not used to non-WWE growing up wrestlers. So, of course, there's going to be strong style. It's going to be shooter style. It's going to be all different types of style. The problem with it is, can you take it? So, pretty much, a lot of WWE superstars are like, oh my God, it hurts. Oh my God, I'm injured. It's because you don't know how to prepare yourself or brace yourself for it. That, to me, is an issue.
Okay, well, I'm just going to bring something up. You touched on it. You brought it up. You talked about it. Tyson Kidd, him getting that neck injury, courtesy of, the brainbuster, Samoa Joe. that was a freak accident. He could take that 99 times out of 100 and not even feel it. In this situation, it was just a freak occurrence. Samoa Joe kind of sort of landed a little bit wrong, and Tyson was put off side. You have to remember, he's a buddy of mine, and I have spoken with him about this. Tyson Kidd, also known, you know, by his real name, TJ Wilson, he was the last guy trained in Stu Hart's dungeon. Nobody who came out of the dungeon is afraid of working stiff. They were all taught strong style. And I have a little miniature anecdote that will fit in exactly with your topic that you wanted to bring up. Hotshot Johnny Devine, former TNA superstar, another friend of mine, guy that actually held the Commonwealth title for a year in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, one day was relating to me a story about him and the Dudleys while they were all working in TNA Wrestling. They were setting up some kind of a tournament thing or something like that, and the Dudleys found out Bubba Ray, who was like Brother Ray then, found out he had to face Devine, and he didn't want to do it because Devine was trained in the dungeon. People came out of the dungeon, had a reputation. People who have been trained by the Hart family work the Japanese strong style because that's what they're taught. None of these guys have any kind of a problem actually making it look good by working that strong style. But to your point, on the other side of that coin, it's what the Dudleys said, what Brother Ray said when he found out he had to fight Johnny Devine. He didn't want to go any within 10 feet of him because he worked so stiff.
Well, then here, and apparently, as you know, as I've talked about being learning how to prep, ring awareness and things of such. Tim, you know all about that. Now, you know what happened in 2014, what happened with the incident of the Styles Clash with Yoshitatsu. My question is, do you think that was also a freak accident? Or was it wrong? Did they do it incorrectly? Was it placed incorrectly?
Well, I think that you do have a valid point. You got all these different styles emerging, and the WWE is having to bring people in to compensate for the people they have lost because of injury. And I think it's just, it's causing more potential problems. And when these guys come in and they're used to working the style that they work in Japan, in some of the independent circuits, especially up in Western Canada, all of these different styles not being able to mesh completely, these people are not given a complete chance to adapt to the WWE style fully. This is all just my opinion. But the way that they come in, when they come in, the roster that has been there, I think, has decided they're going to try to step up their game to keep up with these guys. Because let's face it, the ones they have brought in are pretty damn smoking, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
What do you think, Omar?
I know, I'm thinking about, you're right in that you're bringing in so many talents right now that WWE is not used to working with. You're going to have a lot of guys on the roster that's trying to up their game and trying to push themselves to perform on, a new expected level. And when you're giving guys like AJ Styles, the chance to main event pay-per-views, you're sending a message to the locker room. This is kind of what we want. Talking about if they're working too stiff or if there's, moves that you just don't know how to take because they're not used to a softer WWE style. Maybe? I mean, what happened with Samoa Joe? Yeah, that's total freak accident. I've seen him hit that move 1,000 times, and I haven't heard of any injuries occurring from it. Tyson was the first. Mm. And then you talk like the Styles Clash, which is up to, what, two or three?
Two or three, but here's the thing, that you can't blame Styles for that. Continue, Omega. Go ahead.
I'm just talking like, level of frequency here. Not like, well, I'm not asking like who was to blame for the spot going bad, but
yeah,
that you had two people with neck injuries within a year's span from the same move.
Mm-hmm.
You start to wonder.
And well, here, you know, the problem is, these are guys that, AJ hasn't worked with regularly. They've never taken that move particularly. They weren't sure how to take it properly. I mean, that's one thing. Wrestlers yeah. are trained to take bumps. And it's just trained to take that guy's bump because that guy, you know, they haven't worked with that guy, then they don't know how to take his bump.
Yeah, that's why I say Sting is retired right now is because, you know, he's expected to take turnbuckle power bombs for the first time in his career and just didn't know how to do it.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, as far as that goes, when you look at somebody like Sting, Seth Rollins, I don't think, and this is not a shot against Seth. It's just the generational divide that I'm pointing out here. Seth, I don't think knows how to work a match with a guy like Sting. Where it's entertaining, but they're both protected. Seth knows how to work a match where they make it look painful. And in Sting's case, it wound up being just that.
You do have a lot of guys in WWE working too stiff, though. And we've got Del Rio, who I don't know how the hell he's still employed at this point.
Yeah.
Nearly killed AJ.
Yeah, that was really bad.
That was really bad.
I'm just really, really pleasantly surprised that AJ actually bounced up afterwards.
This is the guy who literally kicked the head off of Dolph Ziggler's title run.
Yep. Who else has, he's injured other people, Del Rio. Who else has he hurt?
Oh God, who else? Yeah, cause I want to say there's at least one more.
I just right at this point in time cannot remember. That's going to bug me until we get some research done on that now. But, yeah, no, the thing is, I think part of it, like, all these people getting hurt, have they been around for a long time, or are they the new guys? Or should I say newer?
Looking at the injury list, it's kind of a mix right now.
Kind of a mixed bag.
Now, yeah, because you got guys like Tyson Kidd's been around for a while now to get injured, and then you've got like Rollins, who's more recent.
Yeah, but on the other side of that coin, Mike, dive into this one. The people who have been working with the guys who got injured, right? What's the ratio there? Is that also a mixed bag?
Jesus, I don't even know how to put this. When it came for Rollins' situation. There were some like spots, near death spot, well, damn near injured spots for him, but they managed to catch it or get it right, play it off. When I looked at the whole Seth Rollins thing and I'm looking at who he's faced, it's like, that was like a freak accident. That was an accident in the match, bad spot. It's just like everybody else with bad spots. Now, my only concern would be when the NXT roster comes up. The only person that I have seen, well, the only few people that I have seen that have actually been able to do stuff, quote unquote, injury free, would be Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
From when every time, cause he's stiff, he's strong, style, and he had to rearrange his whole entire moveset because, well, we all know WWE is definitely not going to allow the package pile driver. I would have said, Kenta, but, well, we kind of know where that went. My thing is, it's mainly the newcomers rather than the WWE superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to get themselves PG. Because some of their movesets are not PG at all.
Let me ask you both this. So the guys that are coming in, the newcomers to WWE, and I'm not talking about the call-ups from NXT, of course, naturally. I'm talking about from other stories and promotions around the world. Are they working too fast for the WWE locker room when they first come in?
Some are, especially when they first come in.
It depends on the person.
Yeah, you're asking guys, especially in the indie scene we have these days where people are much leaner, much faster than wrestlers used to be because guys just aren't that big anymore. You know, either between, either because of health concerns or because, hey, we can't get away with steroids anymore. One or the other. You just don't see those gigantic wrestlers the way you used to. So now you got wrestlers on the indie circuit rely on being daredevils, being risk takers. And when they're wrestling that style and someone who can follow that style, they work fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when they have to adapt that style to the WWE, you're going to have problems. Either they can't slow down without injuring themselves, or they're going to hurt somebody because they're going a little too fast.
Yeah.
And to me, I think it's a downgrade, honestly, because because it's like you got guys from other promotions, other feds coming in, and they're used to their own thing. But it's like WWE is quote unquote the top place. So to me, it questions the training facilities and whatnot. How come WWE can't catch up with the new talent?
Okay, well, no, it's not a case of the WWE can't catch up with the new talent. It's a case of the WWE is forcing all talent to slow down. And the reason for that is because it looks better 7 times out of 10 on television. Now, when you're moving full bore and you're at an indie show and you're intent, you know, the crowd is watching, it's really fast paced and, you know, you're just giving it your all. You can get away with more and make it look better, and the crowd is more amazed. The problem is the camera only works at 29.97 frames per second. There is still a shutter that passes back and forth, and it's like if you were to blink your eyes 30 times a second, right?
30 times a second?
Yes. That's right. That's basically literally what happens with motion cameras. You know, movie camera, video camera, whatever kind of camera, digital camera, you still have a blinking. The mechanism, there is still a blinking mechanism, right? And that's how motion capture is done. And when that happens, even with high def, if you're going too fast, what happens on your screen? It blurs. That's where you get a blurry, you know, video. So WWE knows this. Wrestlers are trained normally, and they have been in the past until the rash of injuries, but they've been trained to slow it down a little bit. Now, look at the original Sin Cara. He comes up from AAA in Mexico, and the guy's a superstar down there. One of those lucha gods. When he first started, we were all talking about, at least me, Omega, and Mace at the time, we're talking about people can't work with him because they can't hit his style because of the speed with which he works. And they were having trouble. They slowed him down. What happened when they slowed him down? He became the original Botch Cara. See what I'm talking about?
He also had a lot. Well, to be fair, he had a lot of difficulty too. Because you're talking about a guy who came to WWE and refused to learn English.
That's part of it. I mean, he was a little bit of a stubborn.
He's kind of a problematic ass when you read into his history.
Yeah, but I think he jinxed and cursed the Sin Cara costume, because the new Sin Cara, Unico, all of a sudden is just Botch Cara 2.
Yep.
Well, see, I want to give him a little bit more credit, because he actually did pull off some good spots at WrestleMania without screwing anything up.
Yeah, you got it. At least he tries, and he does speak English.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a plus.
I'm like, what the hell was his name? The original Sin Cara. What's his name?
Mystico?
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Mystico. Yeah. Now, like I said, absolute awesome in AAA. Have you ever seen him work a match in AAA Mexico?
No. Believe it or not, I need to.
I've seen a couple of matches. And the thing is, like, I'm sure you've seen Mexican matches, Mexican wrestling, Omega.
Only occasionally.
But you have seen it, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mike, you've seen actual Mexican luchadors?
Yes.
Wrestling in Mexico? Even if it's a 30-second clip on YouTube, what do you see? These guys are hopping around like jumping beans. And sorry if it sounds racist, but it's the truth. They are. They're hopping around like Mexican jumping beans. I mean, how many times have we teased Ring of Honor for being a spot fest? Take Ring of Honor, give it steroids, and then make it drink a case of Joke Cola. And this is what the majority of the lucha matches are. So, but you know, aside from that, you know, what you're saying, Omega, he was also a bit of an ass. So, guys like Seth Rollins getting injured, Tyson Kidd getting injured, those were freak injuries. Seth Rollins, you could put that on the same shelf as Triple H's quad.
Yeah, that's just a weird freak incident.
Yeah.
When you're performing wrestling moves, especially when you're going high flying, that impact is supposed to be taken over so much of your body, so much is supposed to be braced, so much is supposed to be loose. It's a, you know, you might, oh, he's just hopping off the top rope. There's a lot that goes into that you don't think of. And
yeah.
You think about, okay, this is how the body distributes that impact from, you know, from the foot, the ankle, to up to the knee, to the hip, and all this.
Yeah.
And if anything is off, you know, if a muscle is tensed the wrong way, if one leg takes more weight than the other, suddenly what was balanced out to absorb that impact properly is completely off.
Well, I'm trying to remember back to Seth's injury. He was fighting Kane, and wasn't it a case of Kane wasn't quite set enough yet to take the bump? And when Seth went to deliver it, that's where he twisted and got hurt
because
Kane was ready to.
It was hard to say what he was going for because the only clips you saw were fan vids, and they started just before the spot happened. Mm-hmm. He was coming off the top rope and trying to sunset flip Kane over.
Yep.
And came through the flip, landed on his feet, and just the way he landed, it didn't even look like a weird landing. It just looked like something went wrong.
Yeah.
And just instantly crumpled.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, so you've got the freak occurrences. Another one happened, on their trip. They're overseas. Bray Wyatt, right in the middle of the match, had the match got stopped, and Roman Reigns even apologized to the fans because Bray Wyatt hurt his calf.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know. Look at the Wyatt family in general. You have Wyatt got injured pushing Reigns into the corner.
Yep.
How? Like that's a freak accident because he's done that 1,000 times. And
I hate to say it because he's out of shape, but you know
he's basically just walking, essentially.
Yep.
And then you have Luke Harper, who completely we still don't even know how bad his knee injury is.
Yep.
Because we still haven't even heard reports about it.
Mm-hmm.
And all he did was stand. He was standing there delivering punches and just for some reason, the way his stance was, all of his weight started going down on one knee and all of a sudden it's going sideways.
Yep.
Like completely freak accident, had nothing to do with anyone, but just bad luck.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens in real sports too. I mean, like Omega is sports ball. Here we go. Professional hockey players will actually catch their skates in ruts on the ice and boom, all of a sudden they've got an ACL or an MCL injury.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know that it's a specific injury because the team will only say upper body or lower body. And that's so the other team players don't target that injury when they come back from being hurt. And I'll guarantee you, every professional hockey player who has been playing for more than 5 years has had at least one knee injury that has not happened from any kind of brutality from another player. And that's just hockey, never mind football or basketball or anything.
I've seen reports of you know, people celebrating scores in football, I think even in basketball, where just a little bit of celebrating, boom, down they go, out for the season.
Yep. And then you get some really strange things. You know, going back to hockey, I just want to relate this to you really, really quickly. Just because of the entire goofiness of it. There's a hockey player for the Dallas Stars whose heart actually stopped he's sitting on the bench after a shift and his heart stopped. Like he died on the bench. And all hockey teams, all arenas have those portable defibrillators at each bench because of something that happened to a Detroit Red Wings hockey player like 10, 11 years ago. So they all have these portable defibrillators. This guy gets defibrillated. His heart starts up. And you know what the first thing he said to his coach? Not even a guess.
I'm sorry, I got interrupted. I have no idea what just happened.
You got interrupted. What? Oh, I was just talking about a Dallas Stars hockey player whose heart stopped in the middle of a hockey game after a shift, and they had to use a portable defibrillator on him to get his heart started again. Once his heart started and he was revived, the guy like died on the bench, and then they brought him back to life. He looks up at his coach and asks when his next shift was.
Wow.
That's, you know, hockey players are tough fuckers. That's all there is to it. That game was actually postponed because of it, and it was made up at a later date. But the hockey player dies, comes back to life, and has to be put back into the game.
It's funny, but like I've seen similar incidents happen to people, and they don't even remember it happening.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I still maintain that the rash of injuries that has happened to the WWE over the past year is more freak than because wrestlers are too stiff, Mike.
Yeah, too fucking stiff.
This is where you feel free to elaborate on it. Go ahead.
It's like, what is it that they're doing in their training? Are they pushing too hard? Is it something that they're not doing? Are the supplements like screwing up with them? What is it when it comes to injuries? Because freak accident, I'm still thinking about the Seth Rollins thing. It's like your legs are like strong and it's like holds you down. But then again, if Kane is too heavy,
yep,
it can give way. I'm trying to think of like the logical explanations.
The only logical explanation to incidents like this would seem to almost be just lack of proper preparation.
You know what? I'm going to wait. You keep finish your thought because I've got something to interject for you guys on this.
A lot of the injuries I see is stuff that they warn you about in gym class because, you know, these things can happen if you don't stretch out beforehand. You know? You know, you get your leg stretches in, you get your arm stretches in, and then you go work your body because it's a way of slowly working it up and loosening things out before you put a lot of pressure on it. You know, these days we know the WWE locker room is way different than it used to be. Stars are texting on social media. They're on PlayStations in the back waiting for their matches. A lot don't even watch the matches because they are either looking on and watching what they're, you know, they're either playing a game or they've already driven off and are on the way to the next venue. It seems like a lot of these incidents, especially with Luke and Bray, basically just comes down to, well, maybe they just didn't have, like, maybe they just didn't condition themselves right that day. You know, maybe it was just that it sounds dumb, but things like this happen over things that simple.
Well, here's something. Now, this is my interjection for both of you. Stop and think about it. 15, 20 years ago, a lot of the wrestlers, sure, you know, you'd hear they'd be working out in the gym and they're doing leg presses and they're doing weightlifting and they're running the track and they're doing a couple of sit-ups and a couple of push-ups, blah, 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 blah. And they come and they don't look like they're the, you know, muscle monsters that today's wrestlers look like, right? Am I correct? They look big. They look strong. They looked big. They looked strong. They looked scary, but they looked like they had, I don't know, more body fat than today's wrestlers is one great description. Right, Omega?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay. Mike, are you following along here with my thinking? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I'm talking about here, what are the chances that all of the wrestlers who train their ass off nowadays and live clean and all this healthy crap are overdoing it? They're too trained, which means that their muscles are too tight, which means there's no flexibility, which means there's more injury. I'm talking about put a bonsai tree and an oak tree in a stiff wind. What's the tree going to do to that oak? It's going to push it over, crack, snap. What's happening to the bonsai? It's blowing in the breeze and snapping back in place. Overtraining is, the long and short of, like, that's what my speculation that I'm throwing out there is. What do you think?
I think that means Ryback should be injured all the time.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be a detriment. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're just wishful thinking, aren't you?
I'm kind of amused by the Ryback. I'm not going to lie.
Well, yeah, but not.
I don't wish harm on anybody.
Well, no, but you're not amused by him in a way that you should be. It's like watching a bad movie that's supposed to be all tragic, but you're laughing all the way through it because it's so stupid.
Yeah, he is the Room of wrestling.
There you go. The Rune. Gee, that's kind of mean to the Rune, don't you think?
Okay, which word are you saying?
Rune.
I'm saying Room.
Room.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you said Rune, and I'm like, yeah, Rune was a bad movie. You know which movie I'm talking about. So bad, you probably never heard of it.
Okay, you've never heard of The Room, have you?
The Room?
The Room.
It must be bad enough that I never have.
It is written, starring, directed by the same guy who speaks in something that's supposed to be English.
Uh-huh.
And he has been credited as the new Ed Wood.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay, yeah. Watch the movie sometime. It'll give you an appreciation for every other movie you will ever watch.
Okay. It's that bad, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, wow. Anyway, all of you wrestlers that are hurt, stop getting hurt. Heal up and come back and entertain us, because we're missing you. Even Seth Rollins, damn it. Oh, like, come on, who am I kidding? I loved having Seth Rollins healthy, because he was a former member of the Shield that I could cheer on, even when he was a bad guy.
He's going to explode when he comes back.
Oh, forget about being a heel. That's not happening.
Oh, no. No, no. Like, that's the face the company needs right now.
Yeah,
not Roman.
No, exactly. But you know what scares me, right? WWE is going to put him back with the Authority and trying to make him the bad guy Seth Rollins.
No, I don't see that.
Well, I'll tell you what. The fans won't let that happen. They didn't let Hulk Hogan stay a bad guy.
Dear God.
So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Best wishes for quick recovery to everybody who's injured. Yeah. You guys, we all brought this up at the beginning of the show. It's a very sad story. And all I can say is, fortunately, this is not like it was like back in 2006, 2005, 2006, losing wrestlers at way too young of an age. Tragically and sadly, Balls Mahoney winds up passing away just a few days ago. He was, like the day after his 44th birthday. I can't even imagine that.
God, that's terrible.
I mean, you guys used to watch ECW, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got it written down on the run sheet. What's your favorite Balls memory? Every time he was out entertaining the fans. Every single time. Okay. I don't have one moment.
Yeah. Mahoney's kind of weird because he's not one of those guys with a great legacy behind him or anything.
Yep.
Like, he was very much a novelty act, but I can never remember an incident where I was not entertained by the guy.
Exactly.
Like, even hosting like WWE CW strip poker night, I was still getting a kick out of him more than anything I was supposed to be enjoying in that segment.
Yeah. This is truth.
Not to mention, he wrestling wise, I enjoyed his title runs with Spike Dudley when he won the ECW Tag Team Championships. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. And just like everyone says, when he shows up, it's entertaining the crowd. It's like, yeah, he's not legendary, but it's like in ECW, he's one of those guys that you remember. ECW originals, Sabu. Mm-hmm. Dreamer.
An icon of the original ECW.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so much, like the ECW style and look. Like, he's gritty and grungy and looks like he could take a semi truck to the face and get up smiling.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that was ECW in a nutshell. He's like one of these little, he's one of the guys out of there that's just this perfect embodiment of it. You don't have to have, you know, the pretty face and the perfect muscle tone that WWE wants all of its people to have.
Yep.
No, you just have a willingness to go out there and entertain people no matter what it took. And, you know, Balls did that.
Balls, it really did that. And, you know, I do have to put an addendum to what I initially said about thinking about Balls. My favorite memories of Balls Mahoney in the ring in ECW with Tommy Dreamer. Everything he ever did with Tommy Dreamer. But, on that note, guys, we've been yapping for just about an hour now. It's actually time for us to take our first break. So we're going to do just that. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, while we're on break, hit the Twitter machine, go to the Facebook guide, and post that we're live on the air. Come and join us. Let's have a little bit of interaction and some fun and discussion in the chat room. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
But things get shady where the grass is greener. Brothers throwing up sets and hoods like they never seen her. Young Mac Daddy do his thing because I pack right. I got 44 ways to make you act right. And it's a shame how the game must be played. It was told never fold by the brothers you can't fade. So raise up off this young hog. Because I heard you punking some, but you can't punk me, dog. I got my own thing, cause I let my beat swing. If you wanna bring it on. No pain, no gain. So as I peek, can you peep what I speak? Technique's unique, so what you're saying is obsolete. So there it is, as I go about my days, I can only bring it to you like this, in so many ways.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a dick bang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Why? Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's a horse you have, that's a horse
you. Gundam style. Loving the Gundam style.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future. Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless our Made in America.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you. in the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to five times NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Hernandez Pierce, and this is the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, affiliated, as always, with PW Mania, www.pwmania.com. Check them out for all your news and views. And do not forget, you can download the TuneIn app 100% for free on your mobile device, Android, iPhone, iPad, tablet, whatever. And listen to WTR Sunday Night and all the other programming that's on the Wild Talk Radio Network while you're on the go. So you don't have to be stuck at the computer at home on a Sunday if you got things to do for WTR Sunday Night and you still want to hear us yapping for some reason. That's how you do it. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network on the free TuneIn device on your mobile app.
So, Tim, I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Have you told the people to go to WrestleTalkRadio.com yet?
Not yet, but I'm about to.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it up. We want you to go to WrestleTalkRadio.com for a very good reason. There are two little things there that you click the top and you click the bottom. Did you change that around, Rock?
No.
Did you add anything to it?
No.
Okay. My bringing this up was sort of my way of saying add something to so people know to click both of them. Individually, because, ladies and gentlemen, we are allowing you to participate 100% fully in the all-time greatest. And I know for a fact there's a couple of people here and there that don't happen to have Twitter. Now, you can actually vote in the all-time greatest polls at www.wrestletalkradio.com. Your votes count. because you guys are going to be the votes that matter for the all-time greatest. Like that, Rock?
That works.
Okay. So, yeah, all-time greatest, we're going to be starting that when? The new one? When?
In like a half hour.
There you go. That's right. The new all-time greatest SummerSlam moment starts tonight. If you haven't voted yet, you can vote before we get there at www.wrestletalkradio.com.
So many .coms.
Oh, so many Wild Russell, so many talk radio websites that we take care of.
I want a .com.
Okay. TJOmega.com.
Tim, would you like to buy him TJOmega.com?
Yeah. I don't want the island anymore. Give me my domain.
When's your birthday?
July 16th.
Well, talk.
Why is that shit? It's my birthday.
What? You guys have a birthday on the same night?
Yep.
What?
How about that?
Rock, make a note.
Oh, crap.
Intern, make the note.
Yeah, is the intern even listening tonight?
Yes.
Oh. Is he in the chat room?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Intern, make a note.
That's why we have the intern.
Yeah. You know what? #blame the intern.
So, I just need to, no, that's for injuries. #blame Brent. Just want to make this clear. You have agreed to buy Omega, TJOmega.com for his birthday, right?
No, I just said we'll talk. I have not agreed or disagreed to anything.
Okay. If only he knew.
I'm looking forward to this talk.
Yeah, here we go. We'll talk.
It's going to be a fun conversation after the show. Oh, anyway, moving on with the show.
Yeah, I suppose we should move on with the show. Rumors are out there that The Undertaker is done. I read a couple of weeks ago that he has told people that this past WrestleMania was his last ever in-ring match. And he's been he got removed completely from the UK tour.
What's funny about that? He was on the tour. He was off the tour. He was back on the tour for 2 dates. Then he was taken off those dates.
What's going on? Is he done?
See, we've seen this in the past, so it's hard to say he's done with any kind of certainty until a WrestleMania comes up and they haven't booked a match for him at all.
Yes, I agree.
Because he has said he was done in the past. You know, he left his gloves in the ring at this WrestleMania. You know, so people are seeing symbolism to his final performance. I don't know. Because we've heard it so many times. No, this is my last one. Oh, no, one more. No, one more. No, one more.
So you never know. It could be a case of, like, he's feeling it right now after this last WrestleMania, but you never know. By the time December rolls around, maybe he decides he's going to have one more match.
What's interesting is he seemed the healthiest he's looked in a long time in the last few months.
Yep.
And maybe that's why. Maybe he just wants to maintain his health as it is.
So you never know what's going on. I can understand he doesn't want to work dates between WrestleManias. He's up there in age, and, you know, I hate to admit it, when you do get up there in age, you kind of slow down a little bit, you feel things a little longer when they hurt, when you're sore, that soreness lasts longer than it does when you're 30.
This is a very good point. What's interesting is, so The Undertaker was on this tour, and so was Daniel Bryan.
Uh-huh.
They both advertised for this leg of the tour, and neither man is a part of it.
Exactly.
It's, you know.
Asterisk. Card subject to be nothing like the card actually is.
I hate to have bought tickets to, you know, see appearances by Daniel Bryan and The Undertaker on this tour. But to make up for it, Triple H is wrestling.
Is that a good thing?
The main events for the 4 dates are Triple H versus Dean Ambrose in the main event.
Oh, God.
Why, oh,
a
God.
A rematch from WWE Roadblock.
Right. Times four.
I mean, it's a, to be fair, it's a good match.
And it's a house
show. Better match than Roman had with Trips.
And it's a house show. The babyface usually goes over.
Oh, yeah, good. There's no belt on the line, so there's no reason for him not to.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm going to admit, there's a universe in my head that's happy that Dean potentially has four wins over Triple H ahead of him.
It's quite possible. And the other main event on that show will be AJ Styles and Chris Jericho. So think about those two matches you get to see coming up. That's not a bad show to go to if you're in Europe. But yeah, back to the point. What do you think, Mike, about The Undertaker?
Undertaker, it's... I'm gonna quit, I'm gonna quit. No, I need to come back. Oh, I'm gonna quit, I'm gonna quit. No, there's one more feud I gotta do. I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna come back. Oh, God. Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt, I like that. Alright, this is my last one, this is my last one. Honestly, if the streak ending should have been the last one. After that, it should have been game over. But Undertaker must love wrestling. And so that's why he's continuing.
Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt was a letdown for me. Bray Wyatt did not come across as the new face of fear. As a result, I was not impressed with that match.
Mm.
The match itself didn't hurt itself because Bray Wyatt rolled his ankle 6 hours before the match. You know, that didn't help the quality of the match.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was some kind of bad as well, but.
That was unfortunate.
Yeah. Taker Shane was better than I expected it to be.
I was expecting it to be a travesty, so that's not a hard bar to set, you know.
So. that was a bit of a shot.
I think it was.
Hey, on card, that's a terrible match.
Yeah, on the card, yeah, very bad.
Because, I'm sorry, when you line up, we take that WrestleMania entrance where Undertaker has lined up all the coffins of his previous victims, you know, mm-hmm. Triple H, CM Punk, Shawn Michaels, Shane McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
It does not have the same resonance.
Giant Gonzalez.
Okay.
It has better resonance.
Addendum.
Addendum.
For the last, let's say, 10 years, it does not have the same resonance.
Because I can also throw Kama Mustafa.
Oh, Jesus, stop.
Psycho Sid Vicious.
Go away.
That's not a terrible name. Okay, let's not put. I have enough respect for Sid Vicious to not lump him in with Giant Gonzalez.
Did you see that match? It was awful.
Okay, match by him been awful. I will give you that.
Yeah.
Kind of dug Psycho Sid back in the day. And dude also completely shattered his leg and still kept wrestling. Well, not in that particular match, but...
I would be impressive.
That'd be a real tough motherfucker.
Yeah, that would. That would.
He'd be like a hockey player.
Oh, God.
But anyway. Moving on, Tim.
So, yeah. We'll probably find out sometime in December whether or not Undertaker's ever coming back. There's got to be something that happens. I mean... You gotta give him some kind of a send-off match, don't you?
I would.
But who?
So, yeah, that's the question. We're gonna revisit the Undertaker situation when, talks about it, heat up later, leading up to WrestleMania 33.
When there's more to the story, cause right now there's a story, we just don't know what it is.
There's nothing public, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, apparently Raw featured quality wrestling matches, including AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens and versus Cesaro, Natty versus Charlotte. Those were all really good matches last week.
Good classic wrestling. I love it.
Absolutely entertaining. Can they keep this up?
We still got a little bit of post-WrestleMania vibe going through.
Yeah.
Especially when you're still debuting new talents.
Hell yeah.
I think they can keep it up for a little while. I think at least till the next pay-per-view, that energy is still going to be around. Then things are going to settle into a nice little vibe of all the new people getting used to their new surroundings.
Yeah.
So we talked about on the show last week how we wanted to keep AJ Styles and Roman Reigns apart. Did they do a good job of it on Monday night, in your opinion?
No.
On keeping them apart is what the question. Did they do a good enough job keeping them apart?
What's the?
Oh God! This means complimenting Roman Reigns.
But what's the indecision? Is that it? Just trying to, be positive about Roman Reigns. Is
that yes, it? That's the only power of positivity you're gonna get from me about Roman. It's like Roman. He's like, I'm not the bad guy. Not the good guy, I'm the guy. So you know what? I'm not gonna attack you. You're just gonna look at my title. And I'm just gonna leave, or you're just gonna leave. Okay, so they're doing it out of respect. Cool. That's all you get from me about Roman.
It's personality-wise, at least as far as, cheap gimmicks go, it's honestly a better fit for him than Samoan Cena.
Mm-hmm.
I can and I will is just, that's the same as never give up. Thank you very much for that. I know, I'm, if this actually plays out, it's going to be interesting. Because, holy shit, how the fuck do you come out of the next pay-per-view with him looking like a face? Because he's not going to lose the title to AJ Styles. AJ might be the hottest thing in WWE right now. He might be the internet darling.
Mm-hmm.
And he is that good to hold the belt.
Yeah.
He's not going to hold the belt after they just spent literally 2 years culminating Roman Reigns' ascension to the title.
Can't wait for hashtag cancel WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
You do realize that they did this with full knowledge that Roman will be booed out of the building.
This is what makes it interesting, because anyone else, you go, okay, well, you put in like Kevin Owens, or you put in, you put in Sheamus, or you put in someone that is unmistakably heel. Because you still have this Roman Reigns you want to be over as the top guy in the company, but, you don't have any, you can't get crowd support for the guy. I don't care how many t-shirts he sells. He's just not able to get over right now. He doesn't have the persona.
He's not the guy.
He's not the guy.
Legitly.
So, WWE, I've claimed, sometimes they are tone deaf, and sometimes they are utterly, we know what you want, so fuck you. Hello, Zach. This is another case of, we know what you really want us to do. We know exactly what you want. And if you really want it that badly, you know what? You can come to the next pay-per-view and all get in line, drop to your knees, and suck Vince McMahon's ancient dick. Because he ain't giving you shit.
And I believe we will be in Chicago for Payback.
He's getting
Are you shitting me?
He's getting booed.
What are they doing?
Okay, Chicago.
Roman Reigns isn't going to make it out alive.
I was just about to say, yeah, make it out alive. He's not going to make it to the ring alive.
So no crowd and no more crowd entrances.
He's going to get a shot by some guy in CM Punk arm sleeves.
Oh, God. Just thinking about it just brings it to my ears.
Yes, the all the all.
Maybe this
arena.
Is why he still wears the flak jacket for his gear.
He needs to. But yes, the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Sunday, May 1st, is WWE Payback.
He's not going to make it.
Oh, my God.
Goddamn, Sunday, May 1st?
Yeah.
This is either the ultimate middle finger or, like, the best heel turn they could possibly do. One or the other.
Yes.
Wow. You know, if they don't do some kind of heel turn with him because of this, then they're totally screwed.
It's WWE. They're already screwed.
It's amazing. Everybody was behind Roman until he had that, had to get surgery. And then he come back, and everybody was happy he was back, but then he became lukewarm to him. And you want to pinpoint when everybody turned on Roman? Was the point where Daniel Bryan entered the Royal Rumble and lasted for what, 5 minutes?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the part, that was right then where Roman lost the fans, and it's not his fault. They never should have put Daniel in the Royal Rumble.
It wasn't even that. It was.
It wasn't. No. Uh-huh. They put Daniel in the Royal Rumble because the year before you had Rey Mysterio turn heel because he wasn't Daniel Bryan. Because number 30 rang out, and Booyaka came up, and that's not what people wanted. People were doing yes chants leading up to number 30, and they got 619 instead, and go, fuck this.
But it wasn't even the crowd that night in Philly, Tim. It was the moment they said, Daniel Bryan will be entering the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That's when... Because everyone knew Daniel Bryan was not going to win that year.
Yeah, and that's, everybody got pissed off, and they took it out on Roman. And they've been taking it out on Roman. That being said, do I think he's the guy? I don't think that he is. But what are they going to do?
They're going to make him the guy because that's what they want to do. And here's the positive around it. Okay, they're building Roman Reigns up as the guy, but now they're actually starting to build the names we mentioned: AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Cesaro around him.
I talked about it before. They were banking everything on Roman Reigns being the next John Cena, being the next major face of the company. And then when fans didn't take to him, they went, okay, we need a little bit more time. And then they needed more time, and then more time, and then more. And suddenly what was supposed to be about a 6-month build to the title became 2 years. And everything grinds to a halt. Nobody gets over. Nobody starts advancing. The top of the card does not change with the exception of, Daniel Bryan, because it's too loud not to do something with him. You have this reluctance to move on anything because everything they want revolves around Roman getting over, and he never did. So at this point, yeah, just pull the trigger and just do it, fan reaction be damned, because we got a lot that we should be doing that we can't. Because we said it, this is the linchpin to everything. And if we don't do it, nothing else happens.
So, it's like a colleague of ours who is in the chat room right now, he originated from Australia, said they painted themselves into a corner. They're between a rock and a hard place, and there's nothing you can really do about it at this point in time. You've got to ride it out, whether you want to or not.
Yeah, it's called being pot committed. Even if you have even if the chance is, you're most likely going to lose, you've got so much committed at this point,
you have to see it through, even on the off chance that it actually works.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe something will happen and the fans will turn and start to accept him as champion. And you can accept a wrestler as champion without being a fan.
Cena, I can accept. Roman, I cannot.
Can you accept Roman as a heel saying, screw you?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Because, honestly, the heel fits him. The heel fits him. Like, Roman, I see that he's like, I'm not the bad guy, I'm not the good guy, I'm the guy. That sounds so heelish, but it's in a face way. Honestly, Roman needs to learn, can't believe I'm saying this, he needs to learn from Baron Corbin, just shut up and wrestle, and do some evil shit while you're doing it. But the problem with it is the WWE universe is so fucked up in the head that if he turns heel, they're going to go ape shit. They're probably going to cheer him.
Which is why Roman doesn't need to turn heel. He just needs to continue to be cocky.
We'll see.
In the age of WWE where face and heel is completely blurred, you know, you've got all face Cena with mixed reactions. You've got Bray Wyatt who plays like a heel, but he is just captivating to the audience. You know,
I was going to say Bray is the type of heel you love to have as a heel. Cause yeah, you're all like doing boo, Bray boo, but you're doing it with a smile on your face cause you're having fun with him as the bad guy. People are saying boo, Roman boo because I don't like you.
Yeah. It's X-Pac heat on a level we've never heard before.
There you go. Now, the thing about it is, and Ace brought it up, you know, here's the thing. Sure, turn Roman heel, but they just got off, what, 3-year run of heels? Well, 2-year run?
I could accept it because we've talked about it. Everything was built around Roman. So the direction of, like, all I want is a new direction. I just want a new flavor to the WWE. This overbearing management, you know, this heel owner of the company that's doing everything to screw over the babyface and give all of his bad guy buddies all the breaks in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, that's Attitude Era booking, but I saw that. I saw that play out as far as it could between Austin and McMahon. I don't want to see it again with Triple H and Roman.
Yeah.
I want something different, you know? And all of a sudden this title is on, you know, Roman Reigns, it's gotten to his head, and the guy is an absolute tank, so getting it back off of him is not the easiest thing in the world. You know, it sets up dynamics that haven't been around in the WWE in a while. You know, like, even with Brock holding the belt for so long, he occasionally shows up for a championship, and he isn't the face of the company because John Cena's still main eventing more pay-per-views than he was.
Yeah, and at the same time, I never viewed Brock as a babyface or a heel. He was the ultimate the guy.
Yeah, because by all means, he should be a heel.
Yeah.
But you love watching what he does. I used to describe Goldberg as a monster truck show. In a small burst, he's fine. But if you actually try and watch a monster truck race, it's horrible.
Yep.
You know, of all he's out there doing is crushing cars for a couple minutes, it's outstanding. It's, you know, it's a nice little ride, and it's different from what you see in every other match. Yep. Brock's the same way, the difference being, he can actually go. And he can actually, you know, it's like watching a 20-minute monster truck rally.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of awesome. But, you know, it's the guy who beat Undertaker's streak.
Yep.
You know, I thought for years that that would be the ultimate heel turn. Like, there's no way you can do that and not, you know, and ever have fans cheer you again.
And here it is. Fans were cheering him at SummerSlam. By SummerSlam. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Whatever they had with Brock, they should figure out how they had it. try to bottle it because they could make a fortune.
Now,
so to speak.
Now, moving away from Roman Omega, the guys who are the Bullet Club but aren't the Bullet Club but a hashtag Bullet Club decide to make their Monday Night Raw debut. What do you think?
It's kind of an old school way of debuting a team, isn't it?
It is.
Like, they just run in and take over. You know, it was very outsider.
Very much so.
And that works because they're New Japan guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen Gallows in the WWE before. So, like, you, okay, so there's one, there's a, okay, the face has changed, but it's a familiar face. But, it's just, okay, run in, just take the ring by force, and leave only when you're told to leave. Like, it was kind of awesome, like, cause, everyone knew the guys were around. They were touring with the company. It was just a matter of when do they debut. You know, but we weren't seeing vignettes. We weren't seeing build up. We weren't seeing hype. Like, oh, I got some boys coming in, so you guys are in trouble. No, it was just, we're here. This is our ring now. And this, it was kind of refreshing.
It really was. It was different. It's a throwback in a way.
Yeah, like what was old is new again.
Which is interesting that they put on WWE.com back in January the rumor of the Bullet Club is coming. Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Carl Anderson, and Luke Gallows. Hey, look, they're all in the company now. They're all there.
Do they have access to the name Bullet Club?
No, they do not.
Are they going to get it?
Highly
doubtful.
Doubtful, but then again, there's a chance.
We'll see.
It's WWE, so you never know. What do you think, Mike?
We'll see. Honestly, I think that something may happen at Payback. They may form, but hopefully they'll get this legal action done. It's like, oh yeah, you guys now know name the Bullet Club. You guys aren't bulletproof anymore. You guys are named the Bullet Club.
But what about the debut? What do you think of the debut?
The debut was an amazing thing, but why the Usos out of all people?
Who else would you have had them attack?
Oh, wait a minute. Weren't the Usos the one that won the Slammy Award?
Moving on. Never mind.
Sorry, didn't mean to shoot you down.
Nah, it's cool. It's cool. I just had to think about it. I was like, oh, wait, they're important. All right, moving on.
There you go.
Well, they are the number two babyface tag team pecking order-wise in WWE at the moment, behind the New Day.
Yeah, by default, behind the New Day. The New Day is not supposed to be babyfaces.
Exactly.
But there's another example of, look what the fans did.
Fans turned them babyface.
Yep. Yeah, and one of the times WWE actually went with it.
I don't think they had a choice in this situation.
No.
Listen to Roman.
It's always a choice. But no, Omega was talking about how they really didn't, you know, do vignettes for Anderson and Gallows. The only person championing their debut was Finn Balor on Twitter.
Because Which is a nice, subtle little swerve, because that means you expect an NXT debut.
Mm-hmm. And that was a rumor for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, him and his Photoshop, he, yeah. Finn Balor is good at promoting. But no, they had a good debut.
Which is good. That's a good thing.
It was a very good thing. But I would like to see them stay mysterious for a little bit. Until they actually get their name. Sort of running like the outsiders a little bit. You never know when they'll show up. And who they will attack next.
They trademarked the name Bulletproof recently.
Because it's on a Finn Balor shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
But aside from just teasing fans with that, Bullet Club, Bulletproof, it's on Finn's shirt, so yeah, we're gonna tease at that too.
We'll see.
It'd be a cool name for the team that just comes in, does whatever they want, and leaves. Mm-hmm. They aren't touchable.
Yeah, it would be. All right, Tim, what's next?
Well, apparently somebody got caught doing something they shouldn't have. They were bad boys. They got suspended. We're talking Adam Rose and Connor. That's their second suspension for performance. Banned substances.
Back in 2006, it was for Connor. Then he was let go at some point, so there's a 3-year gap, and he came back. So this is his second time he's been suspended for it. And for Adam Rose, it was 2013, I believe, was the last time he got popped.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Out of the two, which one is more likely to be gone?
Neither one is in any real position to affect the WWE in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's the hard part with this. We know WWE doesn't like waiting for that third suspension. They don't like waiting for the 3 strikes and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more often than not, they'll just fire the guy after their second. And it's very, very rare. I want to say guys like Mysterio and, God, there's someone high up on the Tomo, like an Orton or something.
Orton, but he took classes to get rid of his strike.
But it's very rare when someone builds up 2 strikes and does not get released, you know, at the end of that 60-day suspension. My head, like, it's difficult because without Connor, I don't see what Victor does. I don't see what they do together, as it is. He's completely boned with Adam.
You figure we're going to see Victor go back down to NXT?
No.
He'll just be
a job guy on Monday Night Raw.
Not even on Raw.
Or Superstars, whatever it is. You know,
yeah, it'll be main event or dark matches or something like that. Like, in my head, I'm like, I would see Adam Rose as the bigger loss there, because he's a decent guy that got saddled with a really awful gimmick that doesn't play to a big crowd.
Yeah.
And he's just been struggling to find his place since. But part of that is also, part of that's also the ESPN story behind him. Like the little documentary thing for
E60.
Yeah. Like that's still ringing in my head. It's like, I don't want him back on the indies struggling. I don't want him, you know, off somewhere making, you know, a couple hundred a night. Or, you know, I don't want to make him $100 a night just, you know, trying to take care of his kid.
Right.
And, you know, I want him on that roster. I want him making that big paycheck, you know, and a lot of people still remember that special. And I think it'd be like an enormously bad PR idea to let Adam go.
Mm-hmm. But they may not have a choice if he screws up again.
Well, the idea then would be Adam Rose, don't screw up again.
You heard it from Tim Stein.
That'd be a warning to you. You've just been lectured by a father. Smarten up! Flash straight!
Good place.
I'm more worried about him still being there 6 days from now when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just want him to make it that far to begin with. I think it's a big case of, well, we've gone 2 months without him. Why do we need him?
That's one fear that is always prevalent when somebody of his status and his stature winds up getting suspended for 2 months.
Because
doing okay without him.
Because in a group like the Social Outcast, they can just replace him or just move on without him.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, the one thing about it is, he's established enough, he can command. Now, I'm not, you know, disputing or disrupting your talking about you don't want him seeing him struggle on the indie scene. But he's been established enough with WWE that he can command anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 an appearance. The only problem is, that takes you even further away from your family because you're flying all over North America making all of these shows.
Yeah, we also had to factor in how many people it takes for his entrance.
Yep.
CZW can only afford so many bunny suits.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either, but... So... But, yeah. I don't know. The wellness policy, is it a good thing? Well, ultimately, yes. But at the same time, you know, like, take a look at the Olympics. They suspend Olympians for stuff that should not be suspendable. Any chance that these guys maybe took Sudafed with the wrong ingredients?
Well, in general, it's a messed up drug system there anyway because, like, you know, a Canadian wins the snowboarding event, wins gold medal, and then has it. They want to strip it because the guy was tested positive for marijuana.
Russ Robledi.
Why?
Yeah, and I still maintain that if the guy won a gold medal with marijuana in the system, he should get a second gold medal for getting the first one.
To quote Robin Williams, because I'm not just going to steal a joke.
Yeah.
The only way that that's a performance-enhancing drug is if there's a big-ass Hershey bar right at the end.
There you go. Exactly. So, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I guess we're never going to find out just what it was that they were suspended for. So.
No, they tend to keep that in-house.
There you go. Well, that being said, we've unfortunately lost one member of this little trio here due to illness. He had to bow out because, well, you know, that's what happens when you eat at Panda Express, I guess. I suppose now I'm going to get sued by Panda Express for saying that the food makes you sick.
Email admin@wildtalkradio.com.
Hold on a minute. It made him sick, so, you know, like, you can't bitch and complain.
Again, admin@wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, wildtalkradio.network. Just emailed that one. Shut up. Don't correct me. Wait, should we give people enough time to go to www.russelltalkradio.com and vote for the beginning matchups on the all-time greatest and then come back and do the all-time greatest?
We can do that. If that's what you want like to do. We can do that.
Yeah, we might as well do that. Everybody, you listen to WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio. Do exactly what I said. Nick, Diddy, Mace, you guys are in the chat room. Intern, lead the way. Starscream Josh, go to WrestleTalkRadio.com. Click both banners, the top and the bottom, because it's two separate polls, and I know some people can't figure that out, but that's just the way it is, and Rock's too lazy to fix it, so it's, you know, idiot-proof. vote in both matchups for the all-time greatest, because everybody gets to have their say, and your votes count, because this is now, as of this 100% interactive. We'll be back right after this.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now, when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly,
download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience. Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Amazing Kong, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back. WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. There, that should have given you all enough time to go and vote for the all-time greatest round one. We've got two separate head-to-head matches for you right there at see, Mace, here's the thing. This time your vote does count because it's like, you know, anonymous, but, you know, go and vote, goddammit. We'll give you 30 seconds. www.wrestletalkradio.com. Vote, come back, and boom. There you go. We're going to be doing this all the time from now on. So everybody gets, you know, it's just like the Electoral College. The matchup with the most fan votes winds up getting, you know, the go ahead by the fans.
That's not the Electoral College.
You don't know I'm Canadian. We actually vote for the people, not somebody to vote for the person. I'm voting for you to vote for him. What the fuck is that?
We vote like it's a fucking board game. You get California, you get 26 points. What?
That's ridiculous.
I'm trying to run the country. I'm not playing Risk.
Redonkulous.
It's an archaic leftover from when we couldn't accurately count everybody. Now CNN will tell you the exact number of votes tallied across the nation before
and that's
midnight.
How Bush was president for 8 years. Bring that up, didn't I? Hey, it's not my fault you live in Florida, Omega.
I know, hanging chat. Fuck you.
hanging chick, yeah.
Yeah, I was there. I was there. Literally, I was there.
Well, that's a good name for those little rectangles that get punched out of those punch cards, you know, chit. Think about it.
No.
That election was full of chit.
It was Chad, but okay.
Whatever, shut up.
You can't hear me today.
What?
Chad, room.
Okay, room.
Do I have to properly enunciate for you?
That would be a first. Hey, listen, room, they sound close on audio. You said Chad, yeah, but I said Chet because it made the joke work. Shut up.
30 seconds left in the poll because here's the intro for the all-time greatest.
Here you go.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Polls have officially closed.
Boom. All right. The all-time greatest. Are you ready?
Are you ready? So, we're crying the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment. And up first is the Ultimate Warrior ending Honky Tonk Man's Intercontinental Championship reign in 1988. Up against Brock Lesnar winning the Undisputed Championship in 2002. Omega.
Well, Undisputed Championship, big deal back then.
It was. He beat The Rock.
Yeah, he beat The Rock, which is, yeah, that was a big deal in 2002.
It was.
Hmm. You know, if Eric Rowan couldn't do it, man. You gotta think, like, that was Honky Tonk Man carrying that belt forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, what, somewhere around 480 days?
Still the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion in history.
He gave us the Honk-a-meter. Needs to be a thing for every Intercontinental Champion.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that was a big deal. Like, you know, you talk about Paige coming in and taking the Divas title off of AJ after she held it forever. You know, you talk about how big of a deal it was for CM Punk to lose to The Rock. After over 400 days as champion. This was even longer back in a day when, you know, you didn't have nearly as many events, and every one of them was a much bigger deal than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have a jaded wrestling community to go, oh, no, they're pushing the Ultimate Warrior tonight. No.
Boo! Boo! Boo!
Overrated!
Ultimate Warrior! There you go.
I was having fun.
Hashtag blame Tim.
No, I know. Lesnar winning Undisputed Championship seems like a more of a foregone thing because it's Brock Lesnar. He was the next big thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you expected him to be the next guy to carry the WWE for the next decade. Oh ho, how wrong we were. But. I find more surprise and I find more shock value out of Warrior taking the title off of Honky Tonk because it was such a greatest moments in SummerSlam history.
Mm-hmm.
That was a moment.
Was a moment.
It was a moment. It was a 30-second match.
Yes, it was.
But it ended an enormous and still record-holding intercontinental streak, which is kind of a big deal.
454 days, a little bit of a big deal.
Wow. Yeah. One for the Warrior.
God, the Warrior gets a vote. All right, Tim.
Chris Jericho winning the Undisputed Championship. Was a bigger deal than Brock winning the Undisputed
title. Wow.
I was wondering where we're going with that.
Smooth, Tim. Smooth.
No, really, it was. I mean, yeah, Brock. Well, all right, it's Brock. Brock's going to be whatever, you know? Keep in mind,
we're calling it Undisputed Championship. It's just a championship at that time.
Yes.
Like, you know, Chris Jericho's was a bigger deal because it was the first time we were calling it that.
Yep. This is my point. Brock won a championship. Woo. Okay. Everything Omega said and then some for Ultimate Warrior. Just look at everything that launched from that. Yeah, sure. It was the game plan. This is what it was going to ultimately lead to was Ultimate Warrior beating Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ending Hulk Hogan's reign as the forever WWF champion. Well, you know, a torch was passed. An absolute record that still stands today was ended. A 30-second match that people absolutely went apeshit bananas over actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger moment. Warrior Honky Tonk.
To give the fans their vote, with 58% of the vote, Brock Lesnar wins the Undisputed Championship in 2002.
Fans voted wrong.
So the Warrior moves on. That will play a part in this contest, I can already tell at some point. Up next, Miss Elizabeth strips the Mega Power win in 1988, where Shane O'Mac falls 40 feet in 2000. Tim.
Damn, that's a tough one. Shane O'Mac is, holy fuck, he'll jump off everything.
Yes, he will.
Holy Christ. I mean, the guy could have killed himself, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Even worse, that he could have killed himself at WrestleMania. He could have killed himself that much.
Could have.
Yeah. And let's face it, one hell of a shocker. But the thing is, you go back to like the late 80s of the Mega Powers. That was the huge goddamn thing. You know, with Miss Elizabeth and the whole, well, you slept with Miss Elizabeth, so I don't want to be your partner anymore, dig it. You know, that never actually implicitly stated back then, but that was the, what was implied.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to go with Shane jumping off the 40-foot thing.
Omega.
He's thinking.
He is thinking.
I'm building up suspense. Here's the thing about Shane in SummerSlam 2000. He didn't jump.
He fell.
He fell. Because Steve Blackman whacked him in the cane. whacked him in the back with a cane. You know, this isn't one of Shane McMahon's legendary dives trying to kill somebody by killing himself. He wasn't trying to jump on Big Show. He wasn't trying to jump on The Undertaker. He fell. And good on him for taking a big fall. But all he did was fall and lost the match as a result. Steve Blackman literally just kind of walked down covered in one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a great moment. It's a great little stunt. Completely ineffectual and led to nothing. Now, the Mega Powers winning, that's a big deal because their opponents were Andre and the Million Dollar Man.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about two of the bigger heels at the time. It's an enormous match. What makes, aside from the fact that, okay, it's Hogan and Macho Man, two of the biggest names in wrestling in the 80s, teaming up mm-hmm. against two of the biggest villains of the 80s in wrestling. It's also the fact that Elizabeth stripping, that's in the notes because that was a big deal back then.
Yes, it was.
Elizabeth was not, the prototypical diva that we just did away with. You know, there were no bra and panty matches and pillow fight matches back then. You know.
10 years later, yes, there were.
10 years later, but not then.
Not then.
No. We had to have a tuxedo match first, then we could have lingerie matches.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to do that, that was unseen at the time. That was just, what the hell? No one would have expected that to happen, especially out of her. You know, today's WWE, if a diva came out and did that, no one bat an eye. So, okay, between how big of a match it was, with the guys involved, and yes, with Liz ripping off the dress and exposing the panties, I'm going to give it to the Mega Powers.
So we then turn it to the people, and the people say 50% of the vote go one way.
Oh no!
Which means I get to break the tie, and based on the argument Omega made, I'm going with Omega. Because out of all Shane McMahon jumps and fouls and moments, this ranks sort of at the bottom, even though it was 40 feet. There's more memorable Shane McMahon moments in his career than this one.
So I sway it to Liz and Mega Powers on this one. But it was 50-50 on that one. So there you go. So those two move on next week. Next week on the all-time greatest, Shane and Test battle over Stephanie McMahon, and Shawn Michaels returns to the ring in 2002, while Jon Stewart crossed John Cena in 2015, where The Undertaker gets his revenge and beats Brock Lesnar in 2015. That's next week in the all-time greatest.
Ooh. Well, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, Tim, rank your top five tag teams in WWE right now.
Currently?
Currently.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to have to go New Day, Usos, Dudleys, who just came up from NXT.
Enzo and Cass?
Yeah, Enzo and Cass. Is that four?
That's four.
And someone cast will move up to, like, number two in very short order, but right now they're number four. Is there a fifth tag team?
There's a whole tournament right now. And a couple tag teams that aren't even... aren't even in that category.
Oh, who would be my number five? Shit, I don't know.
Just as a side note, that is a scary thing. Like, we actually have a very large tag division in the WWE right now.
Yes, after us bitching about it for years, they finally listened to us.
There's about 10 tag teams you can use right now.
Shit.
And Tim can only name four.
I can't think of fifth.
You got the Wyatt family, you got the League of Nations, the Ascension, the Vaughn Villains, Social Outcast.
Yeah, Social Outcasts are out.
The Wyatts are down to a tag team.
Ascension is out. Suspensions. Shit. Yeah, I'd have to have the Wyatts round up the top five.
Omega, name your top five all-time favorite TNA knockouts.
Really?
Yes.
I'd be hard-pressed to remember five women in TNA.
Try.
Gail Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome Kong.
Uh-huh.
ODB.
Uh-huh.
I'm out. Because like, I know Angelina Love and Velvet Sky, but fuck them.
No love for Sky.
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Because that's all I can remember out of.
Tim, rank your top five male competitors in WWE.
My personal top five?
Yes, your top five.
In no particular order.
No, in order.
No particular order.
In order.
No particular order. My top five non-injured, currently working WWE superstars. Dean Ambrose. Kevin Owens. Cesaro. Sami Zayn, AJ Styles. All five of those guys should be fighting for the title every week on a rotating basis.
And Omega, name your top five NXT tag teams.
Shit, we just got rid of two of them. Suck. fuck. Well, Enzo and Cass and the Vaudevillains are still technically wrestling NXT matches. Can I get away with that? Because I don't think there are five otherwise.
I'll give you Enzo and Cass. Because they still have a match coming up.
Okay. How you doing?
Okay, yeah, I would give them the number one. Mm-hmm. Go American Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
The Revival. God, who else is there?
You got Gargano and Ciampa.
They've had one match.
No, they've had a few as a tag team.
I could put them in there. They're great indie talents, but it had to be low on the list.
You got the Hype Bros. You got Blake and Murphy.
God, Blake and Murphy got kind of vanished.
You got Skylar and Hollis.
You know what? I'm going to make Blake and Murphy number four. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll make Ciampa and Gargano number five.
There you go. That's quick hits.
That's another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, Raw Post Show.
11, 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll recap everything that goes down in London on the Raw Post Show.
And on Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack.
That's right. We'll talk NXT. We'll talk all the Blaine Brents and all the news and discussions you can handle to act Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Rack Extra Season 5, Episode 13 and 14 will be available this week at some point. Go to RackRadioShow.com, at RackRadioShow on Facebook and Twitter. Follow Lindsay on Twitter, at LindsayWard.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, as close as we can get to another edition of CB Radio.
So, last night we had a segment planned, but someone bailed. Ain't many names. But we filled in with a lone jobber, so go back and listen to last night's episode at CBRadioLive.com. We'll talk the weird, the wacky, the unusual this week, Saturday night, for CB Radio. CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter, hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
You planned that segment. I didn't, so shut up. Hey, all right, yeah. No, follow
no,
Wild Talk
no,
Radio.
No, no, no. Don't tell me to shut up. You're the one who said to come on. You were coming on.
Uh-uh. I never promised you a rose garden. Follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. Hey, check out our Facebook, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Like one, join the other. There you go. Follow me on the Twitter machines, not once but twice, because it's so nice. Yeah, at Flames Forums, that's one of them. The other one is at Man Kitchen TV.
Don't forget to go to wildtalkradio.com, and you can read Tim Stein's Stanley Cup picks right now.
There you go. Yeah, parts one and two are up for your perusal, and I'm sorry, Scott Barry, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. And if I'm wrong, well, then I'll admit it. There you go. Fine. But, I stand by my picks until the end of round one. It's just, what else was I going to say?
Man Kitchen on Facebook.
Check out Man Kitchen. Yeah, Man Kitchen on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/menchefs. You can follow me there on Facebook. That being said, Omega, I've seen you on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to keep active on Twitter. So. Yeah, if you want to follow me and get my random musings and photos, it is TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also where you can find me on YouTube, where 90% of my content is. You can also hit TJOmega.org, still under renovation, because goddamn, I've been busy.
And on July 16th, TJOmega.com, thanks to Tim Stein.
Uh-huh.
I promise that.
Watch for it.
Nope. I said we'll talk.
And if you are the Facebook type, it is over at TJ Reviews.
Get us on iTunes, search Wild Talk Radio Network, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well.
There you go. Yeah. Heartbreak Mike is on Twitter and Facebook, but he's not here, so I can't plug him, and I can't remember what the hell they are.
DWTR Oreo on the Twitter.
Oh, there you go. DWTR Oreo on the Twitter. People are, some, one of these days, I'm going to get bothered enough to explain why he's known as the Oreo. But I don't feel like doing it tonight. All right, that being said, we're back at a regular time next Sunday night. Everybody join us right here at 10 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Talk Radio.